Today's daf is Becharos daf Lamed Zayin. We left off at the Mishnah on daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis. So we're discussing various movement that a Bechar might have, which would be Matirit B'Shchita, and we've been discussing the concept that you have to show the mum to a Chacham, and he's got a paskin on it, that you shouldn't paskin, you can't paskin these things for yourself. So says the Mishnah Bechar, Shinitz Mesein of Shinik Tu Yad of Shinish for Ragla. Let's say the Bechar has a very obvious mum. Its eye was blinded, its foreleg was cut off, its hind leg was broken. Sa'areza Yishachet Al Pi Gimel B'nei HaKnesses. So you could shecht such a Bechar based on the heter of Gimel B'nei HaKnesses, of three just stam regular people. You don't need, Rashi says, she'in and chachamim, people who are not particular chachamim in this area, that's enough. Rabbi Yossi Yom Rafilu Yesham Chav Gimel, Einu Nishchat Ela Al Pi Mumche. Rabbi Yossi says, now even if you were to have 23 judges, you need to have a mumche involved, that it's not good enough to have anybody, even though these are obvious mumin, it needs to dafka be shown to a mumche. So says, Rabbi Yudinasiya to Rabbi Mishved, Rabbi Shobel Levi Amri, Rabbi Simlai, Rabbi Yudinasiya both said in the name of Rabbi Shobel Levi. And some say it was Rabbi Simlai, Rabbi Shimon Levi, both saying the name of Rabbi Denisia. Hataras bechor b'chutz laretz al pi shlosh b'nei haknesses. To be matir bechor b'chutz laretz, you need three b'nei haknesses, and that's good enough to have three members of the community who are not necessarily chachamim. But that's dafka in chutz laretz. Rashi says, what's special about chutz laretz? She'enu roi lahakriv. In chutz laretz, bechor born in chutz laretz is never going to be Roy Lakrava, Vafilu Bizman Bes Amigdash, Mesechus Tmura. We're going to see that coming up in Mesechus Tmura. So in Chutz La'aretz, it's never going to be Roy for a carbon anyway, so we allow three B'nai HaKnesses to be Matir the Bechor. So Amarava Ubimum Mufakin. Rava says, yes, but even then, it's only with very obvious, blatant Mumin, like the kinds we're speaking about in the Mishnah. So says, well, my Kamashmal, and what are you teaching me then? Tanina, we already learned that in our Mishnah. Bechor Shinus Mesein, Vishnik Liyad, Vishnish Varaglo, Hareza Yishachet Al Pi Gimel B'nei HaKnesses. We already saw in the Mishnah that three B'nei HaKnesses is all you need to be Matir B'char with an obvious mum. The Mishnah must be talking about Chutz La'aretz. So says the Gemara, Imi Masnisin Hav Amina B'Chutz La'aretz Afil Mumin She'im Mufakin. No, had I just had the Mishnah never specifies that we're talking about Chutz La'aretz, and therefore I would have thought that in Chutz La'aretz, even if it weren't obvious mumin, you would be able to rely on three B'nai HaKnesses. Why then would a dafka say muvhakin? Why then would it give examples of obvious mumin? V'haydiktani muvhakin. The reason it gives examples of obvious mumin, not because you need it, to, not because that it needs to be obvious mumin to be matir in chutz laretz. I would have thought lo diachal kochod Rabbi Yossi, just to emphasize how seriously Rabbi Yossi takes this shita that you cannot rely on B'nai HaKnesses, that you're going to need a mumcha under any circumstances, and that's why Dafka says even by muvhakin you need an expert. So Kamashmon therefore comes to tell me that no, the reason it chose muvhakin is to tell me that even the Tanakama, who's matir gimel B'nai HaKnesses, being matir a mum and chutz laretz, would only be matir when it's a mum mufak. He would not be matir if it were a mum that were not a mum mufak. Rabbi Yudam, Rabbi Yirmi Barabim, Shmei Derav, Savim Mishmei Deshmuel, the Gimel Matir Nesabachar, B'makom Shein Mumcha. That if you have, it's not sure whether he said in the name of Rav, or whether he said in the name of Shmuel, but either way, the statement was that three people could be Matir Bechor when there is no Mumcha present. So Tosos writes that a mumcha could be a matir, a bechor biyachid, meaning you need three only because there's no mumcha. If you have a mumcha, you only need one, and one person can do it. So Prima Gadim raises an interesting question. The Prima Gadim in Or Chaim, in the Psicha Kolelas, the Seder Hanisha Lemashal, Seder Aleph, Os Dalid, so Prima Gadim writes, how is a Mora Hara'a, how is a Posek Ne'eman Biyachid for Nisr V'Heter Shaila alone, and Nisr V'Heter Shaila when there's a Chazaka, and it's not Biyado to make it Mutter, for instance, like by a Bechar? Why is this any different from Eidos that were Choshim that a Yachid is going to be Meshaker? So it can't be that Ein Adam Choltiv Lo, because over here there's a Chazaka. chazaka that it's cheskas iser. So why do we allow ever a posik to determine the answer to a shayla be yichidus? It should never be permitted. So in the hagos of the marshak, he's metarets that a mor is neman because milsa davida legluye. That since when you answer a shayla, especially nowadays with mass communication and just the not mass communication, but the various forms of communication that people have, I know when someone just called me this week with a very sensitive nida shayla, and they left a message with the details of the shayla. 2 minutes later, I got a phone call from another rabbi asking me a very sensitive nida shayla with all of the same details. So I answered the shayla, then I called back the first person, and I said, did you happen to ask Rabbi Solms? Yeah, you didn't answer. So you know the shayla is going to be asked to multiple people. It's just the way that it works, whether that's appropriate, not appropriate, whatever, it is what it is. But the shayla is going to be asked to multiple people, and ultimately you're going to get caught if you say something incorrect. Someone else is going to find out. So it's a milsa davida legluye. So anyway, says the Gemara, so you know, so either Rav or Shmuel, we're not sure who said it, that when there's no mumcha, three people could be matir b'chor. So my kamashmal, that's a big chiddush. Tanina, reza yishachid, apne gimel b'nei, api gimel b'nei knesses. It said b'ferish in our Mishnah like that, that three people could be matir. So imi masnisin hava amina b'makom mumcha, hava amina afilu b'makom mumcha. From our Mishnah, I would have thought three people is a lechatchila, even when there's a mumcha available. Kamashmalan b'makom shein mumcha in, b'makom sheish mumcha lo. That's why he wants to tell me, no, if there's a mumcha available, you go to the mumcha. If there's no mumcha available, so b'diavad, that's what our Mishnah is talking about. Then you could have gimel b'nei knesses. Rabbi Chiya bar Amram said, Gimel Matirin Esa B'chosa. Amram is, I guess, a name we find in Amorim, and I don't remember where else we have it. Rabbi Chiya bar Amram says as follows: Gimel Matirin Esa B'chor B'makom She'in Mumcha. Three people can be Matir B'chor when there's no Mumcha available. Gimel, and similarly, Gimel Matirin Esa Neder B'makom She'in Chacham. You can have three people be Matir Neder when there's no Chacham to do Hataras Nedarim, because apparently a Chacham alone could do Hataras Nedarim. Gimel Matir Esa B'chor B'makom She'in Mumcha. The fact that we say three people could be Matir B'chor without it when there's no Mumcha present, that's Lafukim Med Rabbi Yossi. That's to tell me against the sheet of Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, who insisted that you always have to have a Mumcha to be Matir B'chor, and that you can never rely on three regular people. Shlosha Matirin Esa Neder, but it changes on the side to Matirin. Matirin Esa Neder B'makom She'in Chacham. The fact that we say three people could be Matir Neder when there's no Chacham, Lafukim Med Rabbi Yehuda, that comes to tell me, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Ditanya, Hafaras Nedarim Begimel. Where do we have a sheet of Rabbi Yehuda? We have a brayse that says as follows: Hafaras Nedarim requires three people. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echad Mehem Chacham. One of the three has to be a Chacham. And yet we're saying now that three people could be Matir when there's no Chacham. Sounds like when there is a Chacham, he could do it alone. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even when there is a Chacham, he has to be one of three. B'makom she'in chacham kigon man. So when we say chacham, we say b'makom she'in chacham, you can't do it. It sounds like when there is a chacham, he could be matir neder alone. So what is the geder of chacham to do ataras nedarim alone? We never see this. Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, people do ataras nedarim. We never see just one person being matir. So is there no one that's a chacham? How do we define chacham? So Amar Rav Nachman kigon ana. Definition of a chacham is someone like me, which causes us two problems. Problem number one that answer causes us is we don't know what Rav Nachman meant by that. Someone as handsome as me, someone who knows Shas like me, someone who's familiar with the way people speak and therefore knows Nedarim like me. So it's very difficult to understand. That's a major discussion in the Rishonim. What does Kigon Ana mean? The second issue it poses for us, second problem it poses for us, is that really a way to talk? Kigon Ana. That person is going to say that, yes, you want the definition of Chacham, look up in a dictionary, you'll see my picture under Chacham. That's how Rav Nachman is going to talk. So the in the Bure Adaf, he quotes from Rav Tzadok, that Rav Tzadok HaKohen in the Sefer Yisrael Kedoshim, page 66, writes that even though the pasuk is Tzaveach Yahalelucha Zar Velo Picha, that in general a person shouldn't go toot his own horn, let other people praise you, don't let your own mouth praise yourself. Mikal Makom, Rav Nachman Rav Nachman wasn't coming to praise himself. People ask him halacha. He needed to say the halacha. He had to be honest. He had to let them know what the halacha is. So he wasn't coming just stomp to brag. At the end of the day, okay, it sounded like bragging a little bit. What was he supposed to do? Withhold Torah from the people who needed to know? It reminds me a little bit of the story of Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, where he had to testify when the London Beis Din was being sued about something in the secular court, and they asked him, the lawyer asked him, Rabbi Abramsky, is it true that you are the greatest living sage in this country right now and the greatest expert in Jewish law? And he said, yes. And the lawyer said, excuse me, Rabbi Abramsky, I thought your religion preaches humility. He says, yes, but it also preaches honesty, and I'm under oath. So you have to, if that's what you have to say, that's what you have to say. So it reminds us a little bit, of course, of the Gemara at the end of Sota, where the Gemara says that Mishmeis Rabbi Batla Anava, so Amar Rav Yosef, Altisni Anava, Yika Anah, don't say that Anava is gone, because I'm here. That's what, there's a famous Gra. The Gra says, no, there was a Tana named Anah, so, or an Amora named Anah. So Rav Yosef was saying, don't say that Anava is dead, because Ana is here, which would be a little weird that the paradigm of humility's name is me, right? That would be his actual name. But anyway, and then I guess the Grah would say the same thing over here, that Rav Nachman would say someone like the Amora Ana would be the great expert. That's obviously not the Pashtos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echad Me'en Chacham, Mechal Dahanach Kaldehu. When you say only one of them needs to be a Chacham, so it sounds like the other guys could be anybody, that they don't need to know anything. So I'm Ravina, no, they can't be just anybody. It has to be the Mistavri Levisavar. At least you should be able to explain something to them and they'll understand it. They don't need to be the greatest experts, but you should be able to explain things to them and they'll understand it. Rabbi Yosef Marafilu Yesham Chav Gimel. Rabbi Yosef says, even if there are 23 judges, you need to dafka have one who is a mumcha. So I'm Rav Chanan Alam Rav, Ein Alach Rabbi Yosef. We don't pass like Rabbi Yosef. So says Gemara, why do you need to tell me that? If you have a Tanakh and you have Rabbi Yossi, I know, Pshita, Yachid Rabbim, Alachak Rabbim, obviously. The rule is, you always follow the Rabbim against the Yachid. So now, Ma'u Detem Nimuko Imo, I might have thought that in this case, we should pass on Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi was extremely logical, and therefore comes to tell me that, no, we're not going to pass on Rabbi Yossi, we're going to pass in like the Rabbim. Tifshut Meha Dahakha Maisa Meshmeh Deshmuel Itmar. So now we should be able to prove, remember, we weren't sure that whether it was said in the name of Rav or in the name of the Shmuel that three people could be Matir or Bechar. So now we should be able to be poshet that it was Mishmei de Shmuel, the Imishmei de Rav Tarti Lamali. Because if it was in the name of Rav, so why would Rav have to then tell me again Ein Alach Rabbi Yossi? First he tells me you need three people to be Matir or Bechar, three regular people could be Matir or Bechar. You don't need any Mumcha, which is against Rabbi Yossi, and then he's going to tell me Ein Rabbi Yossi, why would Rav repeat himself? So it must be that the original statement that three people, even if none of them are Mumcha, could be Matir Bechor, was Shmuel's statement. So says Gemara, no, Chadu Mechal Dechavir to Itmar. It wasn't really two separate statements of Rav. Rav was saying one in the context of the other, meaning he was saying, three people saying, because we don't pass like Rabbi Yossi, therefore three people who aren't Mumcha could be Matir a Bechor. But it's not a Raya who the original statement was in the name of or not. L'chora, it shouldn't make a difference, because once we know Rav says it, Hilchsuk Rav B'Yisuri, so we're going to pass on like Rav anyhow. Says the Mishnah, Hashochet es ha-bechor v'nodu shelo her'ehu. Let's say a person shechted a bechor, and then you find out that the guy who sold it to you, meaning you shecht the bechor, you sell the meat, and then the guy who buys the meat discovers that the guy who shechted the bechor never showed it to a chacham, so he never had a heter to shecht the bechor in the first place. So masha achlu achlu v'yachzu l'madamim. The part that I ate, let's say I ate $100 worth of meat, so that is already eaten. What could I do? I can't return that meat because I've already eaten it, but I do get my money back for that meat. Umasha, because it's considered, well, we'll see why exactly Rashi says Yachzal Madam Mishum Knas, this is Safikavi, that it's a special Knas on the person who violated the halacha by shechting without showing it to a chacham, that he has to pay me back even for the meat that I've eaten already, even though I got to enjoy the benefit of eating that meat. Umasha lo achlo, whatever I didn't eat, habasar yikaver, you bury the basar, v'yachzer es adam, and the purchaser gets his money back. Similarly, second case, v'cheina shochet es hapara, umachra v'nodashi trefa. Person shechts a para, and he sells it, and he finds out, he discovers that the para is a trefa. So masha achlo achlo, so what you've eaten already from the trefa, no, so you've already eaten. But whatever you haven't eaten, you return the the meat, and then you'll get your money back. Let's say when I bought that meat, it happens to be that I did with it what you're allowed to do with a trefa anyway. I didn't eat it. Excuse me. I sold it to a guy, or I gave it to dogs. So yishalmu d'mei trefa. So then he still has to pay back the value of trefa. Meaning that's the difference between the value that he sold it for and the value that trefa is worth. That's what he has to pay back. So he actually does have to pay him back anyway. Now Rashi writes over here that when you shechtel b'char, the reason you have to be machzir the dam is it was knas, that he violated an isser suffix. So the Taz is medayik from that hu adin, when you shechtel trefa, that if after you shechtel you realize that the behema was a suffix trefa, even if you only realize suffix trefa, the case in our mission was you realize it was a trefa. What if you realize it was a suffix trefa, that it was never shechtel properly, it was never checked properly rather for trefa, or something like that, still the mocher has to return the money. And the Mishnah, when the Mishnah's case of trefa, it happens to sound like it's talking about Vaday Trefa, but who Adin would be talking about Savik Trefa, because why should we be Mechalik between Bechor and Trefa? The Bechor case is definitely a Suffolk case, because it was just about not being shown to a Chacham. Who knows, maybe it was a Mumkavu and it was fine. So the Trefa case must also be a Suffolk case. Says the Shach, Nekudas HaKesef, that's not true. Rashi says, by Shacharis a Bechor, that it's a Suffolk, but by Shacharis a Trefa, certainly the Mocher does not have to return the money, because he could taina, nah, it's a Kshera. Hamotzi mechaver alav araya. You want your money back? Prove to me that it was a Trefa. But by a Bechor Suffolk, it's a Suffolk Isra Hana'a. And by an Isra Hana'a, the Mechira wouldn't be Chal at all. And therefore, it's like Suffolk Isser, and you'd be chayv to machzir the money. And furthermore, Suffolk Bechor is different than Suffolk Trefa, because Suffolk Bechor calls man that a Chacham doesn't see it, it's usher, meaning the halacha is that you need to show it to a chacham. Suffolk trefa, there's no din of showing it to a chacham, there's a din that the animal can't be a trefa, but that's still a suffolk over here, and his raya is from the fact that the Gemara says that even if it was a bechor, even if the bechor had a mum, vadai, nevertheless we'd still make a knas to be machzir the damim, since he violated the avera, v'lo hareu l'chacham. Why would you make a knas? It turned out that it was vadai abal mum. No, because it's usher so long as you don't show it to a chacham. So that issue is still going to be in play as long as a chacham hasn't seen it. The Prisha quotes Shitas Rashi over here that it's a knas out of a suffolk trefa, and he writes Yesh Mefarshim that the reason they have to return the money is because the achilas iser, a person bought the meat and he ate it, that achilas iser isn't called an achila that has any sort of hana whatsoever, because a person would rather have not eaten it than to eat it under those circumstances, than to eat something that's aser. So that leads the achronim to ask all sorts of interesting questions. Rabbi Kiveger says, how do we have a general concept? We say hamis asik b'chal that if a person eats chalav v'arayos, so he's going to be chayiv even without kavana, even if it was pure misasek, because after all he got hana'a. What do you mean he got hana'a? What we're saying now is as soon as he finds out that it was an issur d'oraisa, he's not going to have hana'a anymore. It's not going to, the hana'a's not going to be worth anything. So that's what the achronim try to say. Maybe. No, he gets some level of hana, he just doesn't get a shavu prutas worth of hana. So the hana that he gets doesn't have any monetary value. So over here in our mission, we're talking about monetary value. So we're saying, okay, he gets all of his money back because he got no monetary value out of it. But he does get some level of hana, enough hana to actually be chayiv. In the Yeshuas Yaakov, in the Haggah from the Ben HaMechaber, in the Sefer Yeshuas Yaakov, in Or Chaim, Simon Tavkuf Pei Vav, he asks the following question. He says, how do we say that you're chayiv someone who eats hegdish b'shogeg with a violation of me'ila, once he realizes that it was hegdish, it shouldn't be called hana. So he wasn't nenem from hegdish, so it shouldn't be me'ila. Again, if you take this idea that whenever you eat something that's asr, you're going to find out about it, you're going to say, I'm so disgusted by that, it turns out that it's not even called hana, so how could there ever be such a din of me'ila? So he says, you have to say that the Torah, it's a gzeres hakasav, by me'ila, that the Torah tells us that there's such a violation called me'ila, so it's halachically considered to be Hana'a. That's the comment of the Ben HaMechaber of the Yeshuas Yaakov. Another point over here, the Sma writes that a Bechor, the Lokeach, we say that you have to be kover it, right? That the unused meat, you should bury it. So whose job is it to bury it? So the Sma writes that the Lokeach has to bury it. You cannot give it back to the to the person that sold it to you, because we're afraid that he's going to go and sell it to somebody else. But the Taz says, no, the tircha is on the mocher. It's the mocher's responsibility to be covered. The lokech can be machzirit to the mocher. When it comes to the treifa, though, what does the Mishnah say? Mashalo achlu heim yachzirim lo asabasar. When it comes to the treifa, the Mishnah says, beferish, you're allowed to return it to the guy who sold it to you. So why is that? Why, according to the Sma, when it comes to the bechor that turned out to have never been checked, I'm not allowed to return the extra meat back to the guy who sold it to me. But by the treifa, I'm allowed to return the meat back to the guy who sold it to me. So says the Sma, no, we're not choshesh that the mocher is going to eat it. Because someone who's choshed on the isser of lifnei iver is not necessarily choshed on the isser of eating nevels and treifas. Remember, we discussed this shayla recently. If you have someone who is in a high-profile case of selling treifa chickens, and then he invites you over to his house for a meal, are you allowed to, he looks like a bal tshuva, but who really knows, so are you allowed to go eat at his house? So the halacha is, says the Sma, just because he violates lifnei iver, does not mean that he himself would eat nevels and treifas. And you also don't have to worry that he's going to go sell it to another Jew, because once he was caught once, he's not going to do that anymore, because no one would ever buy from him. It's already, everyone already knows who he is and what he's up to, so no one's going to want to buy it from him anymore. Okay, let's see the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. Hamocher basar l'chaver v'nimtza basar b'char. If the person sells meat to his friend, it turns out to be b'char meat. Peiros v'nimtza tevelim, or he sells fruits, and it turns out to be tevel. Yayin v'nimtza yayin nesach. He sells wine, it turns out to be yayin nesach. Whatever you've eaten, but you can get your money back. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Dvarim Hanefesh Katzabahen, Yachzal en Esadamim, Shein Hanefesh Katzabahem, Yinakal en Esadamim. It depends, he says. When it's something that people are disgusted by, so then you get the full money back. When it's something that people are not disgusted by, so then you don't get the full money back, but you deduct some of the price. Veiluin Dvarim Hanefesh Katzabahen, what are things that people are disgusted by? Nevelos, Trefels, Shkatzim, Ramasim, those kinds of things. Veilu Indvarm She'en and Efshkatzimahen. What are the things that people are not disgusted by? Becharus Tevelim V'yayin Esach. So Bechar, the Gemara explains each one, what the, so the Bechar, Yinake, the Bach adds in, you're allowed to be deduct from the price of the Bechar, V'leimalei Mayiv Sadeticha. Let the Yisrael say to the Kohen, who sold it to him, what did I cause you loss? If the basar was in your hand, it would require kvura, because it was shechted as a tam. So I didn't cause you any loss. So now the case must be the Kohen who shechted sold the makom hamum to the Yisrael. So he says, no, it's not so posh that was a tam. Damlei lavda chaltav machzinalei sharinalei. Rabbi Yehuda, that maybe had I not sold you that part, had I still had that part intact, I would be able to show it to a chacham, and he would be matirid for me, because we hold like Rabbi Yehuda earlier in Daf Chavches, who says that if you shechtel b'char and then you show its mum, that it could still be mutter. That Rabbi Yehuda holds even after death, yeah, even after you shechtel, you could still show its mum. So that would be the time that the Kohen would have back. So tevelim have a maskinin alahu vachil alahu by tevel. Why can he? Can't the mocher say to the lokeach, had you not eaten it, I would have been able to be masakin it, and then it would have been mutter to eat. So that's why it's considered that he cost him something. Yayin nesech. What about yayin nesech? Why do you deduct from the price? So yidei tarovas. We're assuming that it was yayin nesech that was mixed in with other things. From Shimon Gamliel, d'tan yayin nesech shnafal abar kulo aser banav. That when there's a taroves of yayin nesach, you could still get enough from it. You could sell the whole taroves to a guy, and just don't take the value of yayin nesach as part of the payment. Now this halacha that we're discussing in our mishnah in this brisa, when you sell something and it turns out that what you sold was not kosher, is discussed in Shulchan Aruch. We've quoted it many, many times. Shulchan Aruch discusses whether in Choshen Mishpat Reish Lamed Aleph, whether a person is entitled to get their money back when they find out what they had purchased was not kosher. So the Shulchan Aruch has an interesting chiluk. Shulchan Aruch says it depends if the Isser was an Isser Drabanan or if it was an Isser D'Oraisa. If it was an Isser D'Oraisa that they had purchased, even if they've already eaten it, they can get all their money back. If it was an Isser D'Rabanan, then the part that they haven't eaten, that they can return and get their money back. But the part that they have have eaten, that they cannot get their money back. So the Achronim have a hard time figuring out why there should be such a difference between Issur Drabanan and Issur D'Oraisa. So the Shach says, well, the whole reason Rashi says over here that there's a din of Achzaras Dam is Mishum Knas. So a Knas, who knows? Maybe they were, the Rabbanan only made a Knas when there was a violation of a D'Oraisa. Maybe when it was a violation of the Rabbanan never bothered making such a Knas. That's one Svara. Or it could be that only by an Issur D'Oraisa we say that a person doesn't get Hana'ah because he's so mitsta'er over the fact that he ate it. But by an Issur D'Rabbanan it doesn't cause him as such great Tsar that, and therefore he's it's not considered that he didn't get any Hana'ah. He did get Hana'ah, so he's not going to get his money back since he already ate it and he already enjoyed it. But the Nesivus has, I think, the most famous Chilik. The Nesivus writes in Reish Lamed Daled, that the difference is that when the person who bought it, he bought it innocently, he had no idea that it was non-kosher food that he was buying. So when he buys something non-kosher midal raisa and he eats it, bishogeg, it's obviously bishogeg, so he still did an isser. When you do an avir dal raisa bishogeg, you gotta bring karban, right? It's definitely an isser, requires kapara. When a person does an isser to Rabbanan bishogeg, says the Nesiv is a great chiddush, he doesn't even require kapara, it's not called the maisa avera at all. So the Achronim explain, what does the Nesivus mean by this? Minchas Lazar writes in the Tshuva Meshchachma something similar, that when it comes to an Issur D'Rabbanan, the assumption is that the entire violation of an Issur D'Rabbanan is a violation of an Issur to rebel against the Chachamim. When is it called a rebellion? When you're doing it on purpose. But when you're not doing it on purpose, it's not a rebellion against Chachamim. There's no Issur. It's not an Issur at all when you do an Issur D'Rabbanan B'Shogeg. Doesn't require any kapar. Whereas the Minchas Lazar and Ravad Yosef point out, and the way a lot they say it in yeshivas from this Nesivus is that an Issur D'Oraisa is an Issur Chefza, an Issur D'Rabbanan is an Issur Gavra. That every Issur D'Oraisa, there's something inherent about the object. A pig is treif, something inherent about the pig that it's not kosher. So when I eat it, even b'shogeg, I ate something that inherently wasn't kosher. But an Issur D'Rabbanan is not an Issur in the Chefza. The Rabbanan can't determine that in the Bria, this Chefza has characteristics of Issur. The Rabbanan can tell me that I'm not allowed to eat it because I have a mitzvah to listen to the Rabbanan. So as long as I was listening to the Rabbanan, I wasn't going against the Rabbanan, mele, it's not a Maisa Issur at all, would not require kapara. That's the famous Chilik of the Nesivus. Okay, Hadralach, now we move on to discuss specific mumin. What counts as a mum? What does not count as a mum kavua? So alei the mumin shachtin as a bechar. The following mumin are good enough to shach the bechar on account of nifkama azno min hachaschus avalo ha'or. If his ear is dented in the cartilage part, but not the skin part of the ear. Nistika, if it's cracked, afal pishlo chasra, even if it's not missing anything, it's just cracked, that would be enough of a mum. Nikva, if it's punctured, malokashina, as long as it's punctured the size of a bean, oshe yavsha, or if it's totally dried out. Ezu yavsha, what does it mean dried out? What's yavesha? Kol shetinake vena motziya tibes dam. Tanakama says dried out means that if you were to put a pin in it, and it wouldn't bleed. Rabbi Yosef ben Amshulam Omer Yavsha Shatei Nefreches. No, it means that it would have to crumble. That if you rub your fingers on it, it would just crumble into pieces. That's how dry it is. So obviously, that's a higher level of dryness than just that it wouldn't bleed. So Amai, so frankly, more. Wait a second. Why are these things considered mumin? You look in the Torah. What the Torah lists as a mum. Torah says like really big things. Piseach O Iver. If it's lame, if it's blind. Now we're saying a little nick on the ear is going to make So says Mark, Siv Nami ki yebomum. Yeah, but the Torah also says in that very same pasuk, v'chi yihiyabomum, which is a much more general term. So that includes more types of mumin. Frankly, Gemara, okay, but say the drasha like this: ve'ema ki yebomum klal pisech oiver prat. So we should darshan that whenever you have a klal of prat, the only thing that's included is whatever is specified in the prat. So pisach viver in midiach rinilo, which should include only pisach viver and nothing else. So says Gemara, no, but the next phrase in the pasuk is kol mumra. So chazav a klal, that's a general statement again. So now it's not a klal of prat, it's a klal of prat of klal. So klal of prat of klal, yatadon el kena prat. So then we darshan not just exactly what's in the prat, but anything that's similar to the examples that it gives. So ma prat mufurush mumin shabagali venin chozrin, just like piseach and iver, are mumin that are exposed and they don't ever correct themselves. So any mum that's on an exposed part of the animal's body, like the ear, and will not heal itself, as the Mishnah has determined, the mum that we have mentioned about the ear will not heal themselves. So that's considered a good enough mum. So frankly, Gemara, but if you're going to want to say ke'en prat, what made you decide on those criteria of the prat to compare it to? That it's begali and the same nechozin. Ve'ema, I could have suggested ma prat mefurush mum shem begali ubutum limelachto ve'en nechozin. I would have added a third qualification. It has to be something that makes the animal not work as well anymore. Something that's hindering the animal's ability to perform. So I would have included only such mumin as a problematic mum. So why does it say that if there's a pagam in the ozen from the cartilage part, it doesn't ruin the animal's hearing at all? It's not going to change the animal's ability to do malacha, to do anything at all. So why should that be considered a ke'en aprat? So it says, kol mumra ribuyahu. Now, kol mumra is not to be darshan as a klal prat of klal. We should darshan as a riboy miyat riboy, riboy which includes more things. So it doesn't have to only be ke'en aprat. So frakta gemara, if that's the case, ihachi mumin shabaseser nami alamatana. So then mumin, if we're using it as a riboy, so we should include even mumin that aren't exposed. We should be marbeth things that aren't at all like the prat, even things that aren't exposed. Alamatanan, why then do we have a Mishnah that tells us that if you have the outer gums of the animal that become pagum or that become cut across their width, pnimios, or if the inner gums, shenekru, are completely uprooted, those are considered a mum. Sounds like nekru in, that the inner gums, only if they're completely uprooted, nifkamu v'nigamu lo, but a nifkamu or nigamu is not going to be good enough. So you see, mumin shebeseser is not good enough, because it's dafka only for something that's going to be visible, as we said before, when the animal opens its mouth wide. So mumin shebeseser is not enough to be considered a mum. So it says, binun mum ra v'leka. So because the Torah, it's not just that it's a riboy, but what were the words of the riboy? That it has to be a mum ra. Mum ra means something that's disgusting, makes the animal look terrible. A mum shebeseser does not make the animal look terrible. You know, it doesn't look any different from the outside. So, frankly, Gemara, ihachi mum over nami. Why don't we include a mum over again? If you're including kol mum, that it should include everything, and it's a riboy, and we're trying to be all inclusive, so why do we assume that it has to dafka be a mum kavua? Maybe a mum over should also be included. Alam atanan velomina ar. Why does it say velomina ar, which because it's going to heal itself, so why it will heal itself? So it says Gemara, mum over svaruhu. It's a svar that we can't rely on a mum over, because hashtag mifrak lo we're not even allowed to redeem an animal that has a mum over. Mishkat shchatina ni lavei. Why, you think you're going to be allowed to shecht it? To Tanya, because we have a brisa that expresses this halacha. So we say kol behem etmeya that you can't be makriv mimena carbon la Hashem. So what are we talking about that you can't be makriv a carbon? Bali mumin sheniftu akasa medaber. We're talking about bali mumin that have been redeemed. So I told him bali mumin sheniftu akasa medaber. How do we know? Maybe it's talking about non-kosher animals when it says that you can't be makriv. So kshuomer vimbi behema hatameya hare behema tameya amur. No, there's another phrase to tell me non-kosher animals. That's the phrase that says behema hatameya. Hamani mekayim asholei akrivu mimena. So what do I do with the phrase asholei akrivu mimenu? Havi omer zeb bali mumin sheniftu. That comes teach me about bali mumin that are redeemed. Yachl yiftu al mumover. Simon, I think you could be podi even on a mumover. This is the reason we're quoting the whole brisa to emphasize this point. Tamal omer asher yakriv mimenu karban Hashem. Mishen akreva kalikri yatzuzu shen akreva yom el lemachar. The pasuk says that we're talking about that which cannot be brought as a karban. Ever. A mum over, an animal that has a mum over, cannot be brought as a carbon today, but as soon as it heals, it can be brought as a carbon. That's how I know to exclude mum over. Iba yisema, or else you could say, imkein pisach viver lamali. If mum over were permitted, why would the Torah go out of its way to give examples of mumin that are so drastic of pisach and iver? It doesn't make any sense. Why would you give such examples? So it must be that it's trying to tell me something, that it's got to be a mum kavua, that it has to be something similar to pisach viver. You don't have to go through all the details that it has to be not mivata, that has to be mivata mimalachlo and all the rest, but at least a little bit similar to pesach viver, at least in that it's a mum kavua. So we said if the ear is cracked, even though it's not missing anything, it's still a mum. Tan rabbanon hasedek kolshu. The crack could be the tiniest crack. A pegima bein bidei adam bein bidei shemaim. And pegima could happen by human hand or just by an accident. So mechal the sedek bidei shemaim lo. well, it sounds like a crack, bidei shamayim, would not qualify as a mum. El sadek b'gima bein bidei shamayim bein bidei adam. So says Gemara, no. What we mean to say is both by a sadek and by a b'gima, it could happen bein bidei shamayim bein bidei adam. The kamashir b'gima, how much of a b'gima is considered pagum? So similar to a shechita knife. As much as that your fingernail will catch it, that's enough to be considered a pegima. Nikva male, so we said that if it has a hole the size of a karshina, the size of some type of bean, that's considered to be a mum. Tan rabban kama nikiva sa'ozen. We have a braisa that discusses how big the hole in the ear needs to be for it to be a problem of a mum. So malo karshina, first opinion is the size of a bean. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Domer, bekadosha, the size of a lentil. Ve'ezu yavesh. So we have a further machlokas, not in the size of a hole, but in the definition of yavesh. How dry does the ear have to be for it to be considered a mum? So one opinion is shem tinake ve'na motziya tibas dam, that if you could puncture it with a needle and it wouldn't bleed at all, that's when it's dry enough that it's a mum. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shlomo, Omer, dry enough that even drier than that, that it has to be able to be to crumble when you rub it with your fingers. So Tana Krovin Devrei and Leo Shavin. Tana said, wow, that's almost exactly the same thing. So Devrei and Deman, we just had two machlokesim. One machlok is about the size of a hole to make a mum, and another machlok is about the dryness that you would need to make a mum. And which of those machlokesim are the two sides very, very close that it's almost that they're saying the same exact thing? If you say that the machlokas about the dryness is almost the same, tuva ika, it's not. There's a big difference between being dry enough that it shouldn't bleed anymore and being dry enough that you can literally crumble it with your fingers. That's not kroven leo shavin. No, we must be referring to the other machlokas about the size of the hole. The difference between a bean and a lentil, that's very, very close in size. So that's what we're referring to. Kadasha in, batsami kadasha lo. So frankly, Mara, wait a second. A hole the size of an adasha is a problem. Less than an adasha is not a problem. Uraminhi, but I'll ask you, stira, martseya, in the other martseya, when we talk about an Eved Ivri, so let's say the Eved Ivri says, I have to yes, shiva sadoni, I love my master's house, I want to stay here, I don't want to go free after 6 years. So we do what we call martseya, which is we pierce his ear by the doorpost and we leave him in slavery for a long, long time. So martseya in forever. So I would only know that you're allowed to use a martseya, which is a certain type of piercer. How do I know you're allowed to use other sharp implements to do this piercing? That's why the pasuk says v'lakachta. Rabbi Yosef says as long as it's a portable sharp implement, you're allowed to use it. Rabbi says, no, it's got to be made out of metal, because Marzeya is made out of metal, so it has to be similar to Marzeya. The Katani Seifa, Am Rabbi Dun Berebi, Hayadoresh, Kshen Rotzin, Ein Rotzin Ella Bemilas. When they would actually do the Ritzia, they would only dafki use a Milas. Now here's the key line, that an Evri Ivri Kohen would never go through Ritzia, because he becomes a Balmum when he gets the Ritzia done. So Vim Tom Milas Hayerotzin, but if the minog was that there would be Rotzea with a Milas, Hey Chavit Kohen Nasa Balmum, why would he become a Balmum? Ha'ein Rotzin El Begova Shalozen. They would do the Ritzia on the top part of the ear. That part is not really so critical over here. The point, obviously, it has to be the top part of the ear, otherwise it definitely wouldn't make him a Balmum. But they would do the Ritzia on the top part of the ear, and it was a smaller implement than the size of a bean. So why does that make him a Balmum? We're assuming a Kohen would have the same, what would make a Balmum on a Kohen would be the same as an animal. So Amar Rav Chanan bar Katina lo kasha. Kan lishchot kan lifsal. There's a big difference between the kind of mum that you need to be able to be to shech the bechor and the kind of mum you need to be able to pasal a kohen. Those are different types of mum. So even a smaller mum will pasal a kohen. Just parenthetically, we say over here that only that they would do the ritzia on the Gemara in Kedusha says it's on the right ear and the top part of the right ear. So there's a tshuva from a Meir Arik where he writes that you see that the Gemara is defining what ozen is. Torah says you have to do in the ozen, and it's dafka only the cartilage part. L'may nafkamina, says Rav Meir Arik, the Shulchan Aruch says that your payas are supposed to go down at sofa ozen. What exactly that means is unclear, but if you take it literally, that it has to go all the way to the end of the ear, so Rav Meir Arik says we could be makil, that it doesn't have to go past the earlobe, just past the cartilage part, because it's defining for us what the definition of ear is, that it's only the top part of the ear. Just one last line, karshina. What is a karshina? Amar Rav Shavya, hinda. It's a hinda. Okay, we'll pick up from there tomorrow. Shabbat Freilich and Chanukah to everybody. Couldn't come up with any Daf Yomi coincidences for Chanukah.